amazing to me how such a simple story as is represented by this crash scene has been ruminated and retold in song and in story throughout every culture on the face of this planet. In all different languages, in all different ways, the story that we celebrate as Christmas is a story that has motivated men and women throughout the centuries to be better people, to know the love of God, which sturdies us. And so we go back to Isaiah. And in Isaiah, we see the presence of that same God right there. Now, you remember that I've told you through this series that the book of Isaiah is broken up by theological scholars into three parts. First, second, and third Isaiah. The reason that happens, and most of the scriptures that we've been focusing on are in what's called first Isaiah, which is the first 39 chapters of the book. And they focus on the saving of Israel, how Jerusalem will be saved by the onslaught that is facing them. And the reason the scholars shift is because all of a sudden Isaiah's focus shifts in 2 Isaiah. And it shifts to the sense of desperation, because by now, scholars suggest, Israel has been conquered by Babylon. People have been deported from their home and taken. But it's interesting that this one chapter we're going to face today, some scholars have suggested was misplaced from what was called Deutero or 2 Isaiah, because its theme seemed to be one of devastation. And so as we read this chapter, we're going to discover, first of all, the desert coming to bloom. That assumes that there's already been a desert. Anybody felt like they've been in the desert at one point or another in their lives? You know, a desert is a lonely place. It's a quiet place. But the quiet almost haunts you. But this desert Isaiah talks about comes back to bloom. And the other focus of this passage is kind of the image, although the words are not there, of the experience of the Exodus. Because you can't talk to anybody in the Hebrew world without them at one point or another going back to the faithfulness of God as evidenced in the Exodus from Egypt. And so as we read this passage from the 35th chapter of Isaiah, keep those two thoughts in mind, because they echo the words that are found in Amos. And that is that God's ultimate desire is that justice roll down like waters. And that as the new earth unfolds, we are to be participants in the blooming of the desert. We are to be responsible, with God's aid and supervision, to loving this world the way God does. Here are the words found in the first 10 verses of the book of Isaiah chapter 35. The word of the Lord. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom. Like the crocus, it shall bloom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. And then some words you might recognize from the New Testament, out of the lips of Jesus himself. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals will become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. Who is the Holy Way? Jesus. That's right. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. Wow, not even me. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. God bless the reading of His Word. Will you pray with me? Lord God, please, Christmas keeps coming at us, and it's always hopeful, but it always feels at some point or another, like the hope gives way to the burden. Restore our hope as Isaiah does. Please, God, help us to find your peace and your joy this Christmas. Amen. Christmas is a time of giving, isn't it? And if you're like me, you're thinking, well, what are those last minute things I have to do? Because I procrastinate. Because I don't know what to give those that I love. But so many of the gifts, and much thanks to me being married to a very responsible woman, are already bought for all of our grandkids and kids. Because she doesn't procrastinate. But have you ever thought, what's the perfect gift? You know, we go crazy at malls at this time of year, searching for that right gift, because we want it to be special for those that we care about. And so to do so, we spend a fortune, don't we? Have you ever thought how ironic it is that a father be given a billfold or a mother be given a purse on Christmas? Reminds me of a story where a little Anne went along on a Christmas shopping trip with her grandmother. And she watched at every counter as her grandmother bought gifts for the whole family and then gave them her credit card. And then she had promised Anne that if she was a good little girl, she'd take her to see Santa. So they waited in line. The girl got up and sat on Santa's lap. And then, as she had given her list to Santa, she was ready to get up and go when the jolly old Saint Nicholas pulled out a candy cane and gave it to her. And she got a smile on her face, but her grandmother said, "What do you say?" And she looked up at Santa and said, "Charge it." Children typically make gifts that are very long and dense with all kinds of plastic toys, Power Rangers, Barbie dolls. Some of them ask for puppies or kittens. Others of them want to get into those computer and video games, don't they? Teenagers often are looking for things that are a little more inflammatory, things that are a little more exciting, the high decibel lists of music or the car stereos to play them or new things for their cars. Adults, well, we get all kinds of things, but when everybody's asked, we usually say something like, "Well, I'd really like peace on earth." But the truth is, we all have our kinds of cravings. But have you considered what it may be that Jesus wants for Christmas? In the season of gift giving, the perfect gift gets left out, doesn't it? The gift of committed love, the gift of honoring a person who loved us so much and changed our world. In 1918, Jesus wants Christmas back. Because the true miracle of Christmas is that the desert is abloom again. We might not see it. But Jesus wants us to remember the miracle of His entrance into this world. And the din of songs and the tinsel and Christmas trees can never deafen that simple but incredibly deep message. You know, sometimes we just need to stop in the midst of the rush and hear something beautiful. I found on YouTube a rendition of the Wexford Carol. Sometimes it's known as the Good People All This Christmas Time Carol. It has a claim to be one of the oldest extant Christmas carols. And Alison Krauss and Yo-Yo Ma bring it to life wonderfully. I want you to watch this taping of a Christmas carol to calm our hearts, to make us a little more in touch with what Jesus wants this season.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's the bagpipe and the Scottish heritage in me. But I found that soothing and beautiful in the midst of what can be a frenetic season that too many critics have attacked. Many of you know I have a collection of Christmas CDs and even cassettes. And one of them is Dr. Demento's Christmas. He has some very critical things to say about the craziness of Christmas. And poets likewise have criticized, like Ralph Bergenen, who in The Unwise Christmas says, "Christmas itself may be called into question. If carried so far, it creates indigestion." The truth is that Christmas is a story of God's love. And we do about everything we can to shake that up. No twinkling lights, as much as I love watching them, can supplant that incredible message. You see, Jesus doesn't bring us stuff. Jesus comes to stuff us with healing and wholeness. You know, I wish sometimes that statement were simple for me to grasp, to hold on to. But life enters in, doesn't it? And I remember what Alexander Solzhenitsyn famously said. He said, "If only it were all so simple, if only there were evil people somewhere, insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his or her own heart?" This Christmas time, when you get frenetic, remember that that peace of God is there fighting with that anxiety and tension. And he's arguing, "Let it go. I have redeemed you. I have loved you." So when the world seems kind of crazy, remember Isaiah 35. "Glory to God in the highest. Joy is found in the desert, for it is blooming." Let me leave you with one last poem. It's from Kenneth Patchen in a poem titled, "I Have Lighted the Candles, Mary." And he sees the bitterness of the world. He sees it in the midst of a cold and swollen face of war. And he sees it in his own face because he suffered that war. And still he's trying to find love and peace and joy. And then he speaks to his wife with a taste of tears in her mouth and to Christ's mother, revealing that Christmas may have been betrayed by the world, but it must be kept alive. Otherwise, he suggests, we risk madness and destruction. These are some of his own words. "They are blowing out the candles, Mary. The world is a thing gone mad tonight. So hold him tenderly, dear mother, for his is a kingdom in the hearts of men." Pray. Lord God, when we sing the carols, we are trying to restore our hope. When we give gifts, we're trying to represent you in the love to the loved ones of our lives and to the many different charities we give to at this time. But God, sometimes all that busyness keeps overclouding our understanding of how much you love us. So give us your peace. Project through us your joy, for all humanity. We pray in your name, Lord. Amen.